You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friska. This message was recorded on August 10, 2022, and is titled, Are You a Tool? So grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message. This is part one.
The Lord's been faithful. Has there been anything you've been really needing in your life and God still hasn't delivered? Anybody walking around that way? Has he pretty much been meeting everybody's needs? There you go. Guess what? He's the only one that can. Huh? Mike, and you need rain? Well, y'all need to flip a coin, see which one needs to straighten up. It's kind of like Jonah told him. He said, somebody on here needs to be thrown off the boat. Yeah, somebody has slipped in here and messing the deal up. That's what we told him one time. Well, when we all went to Gonzales. And if you just tuned in on the camera thing, we're glad to have you. We're just visiting and y'all can join in. But when we were at Gonzales back in May, I think it was, for the junior high finals, and our whole neighborhood left, you know, the outlaws and the in-laws and everybody. We left because, you know, we're on a timeshare with some of our grandkids. And so we get gone. It rains 4 inches. And I said, well, son of a gun. I said, there's somebody in this crowd right here. We got to figure out who this is. Well, the other day, Casey and Justin left and we got an inch and a half. We're getting her narrowed down. Oh my gosh. Yeah. How many of y'all know that the kingdom of God is a kingdom of love, peace, and joy? And that in the midst of all kinds of situations, you can still walk in joy. You can still have an excitement about living. You've been promised a future and a hope, so you can go with forward motion. The Bible will instruct that. The Bible will be a lamp unto your feet, help you go that direction. You can live with a smile on your face, even if it takes you a couple of days to get there. You can do it. So in the midst of everything that's going on, and tonight I've got a word from the Lord. Been all day. And I know when all my super spiritual buddies start calling me during the day, it's game on. And so tonight we've got some pretty important things to talk about. But I want to share something with you right quick before I pray. It's a little team roping story. And I know some of you may roll your eyes and go, oh, crap, he tells a lot of team roping stories. But the cool part about in our house, team roping's part of our life. It's a big part. We do a lot of it. And we do it on purpose. And so anything you do in life comes with lessons. And it's all applicable to the Bible. It's all applicable to the kingdom of God, whether it's your habits, your hobbies, your business, whatever it is. The only people that don't learn anything from life are the people that have chosen not to live it. They hadn't got up in the morning with a plan and something to do. You take the word of God and you apply it to it. So anyhow, a lot of you know that friends of ours and some of them, I've made a lot of jokes about it, but Robin and I started roping together again. We've done this half a dozen times. And so I'm the one at the back end now. I'm the guy that has to rope the feet, and roping the feet is fairly difficult. It ain't Curtis. It can be difficult. And when your supposed recreation involves staring endlessly at the back end of a cow, there's something wrong with you. I'll just tell you, you're messed up. But when we came back from Arizona in February, we decided we was going to do this. And the Lord had spoke to me about it right here a week ago Tuesday. I was up here at the altar Tuesday morning. And I take things pretty serious about all that. We'd laugh at our house when it comes to our team roping. She's a fan. I'm an addict. It's just how it is. I do not mind working. If I'm going to be 62 years old all day, somebody's going to have to come tell me. Other than that, I'm 35. That's just how that is. And so in the midst of all that, I had told myself that I wasn't any good at it. But this is what we want to do together. I'm not any good at it, but we're going to settle because this is our choice of recreation. This is what we do together. We don't golf. I tried fishing. Doesn't work for me. Four boats in 1 year, and I still had a midlife crisis going on. So this is what we do. And that wasn't sitting with me. And so I had made my mind up. I said, this is not how this is going to go. I'm going to learn this. And I'm going to become this. And I'm going to do it. So if you've hung around out of my house very much, you know that I'll do it. When it's dark, I'm out there doing it. In the morning, in the night, whatever, I'm going to do it. I studied the tapes. I became a student. And then a guy came into my life. He's watching right now tonight. He's an NFR caliber guy. And he asked if he could rope with me this weekend. And I told him, I said, guys like you don't rope with guys like me. I just rope with my wife. We rope in the lowest amateur thing where all mistakes count and with lots of grace down here at the bottom. Get this now. Lots of grace down here at the bottom where everybody's an amateur. You can have some penalties here and there, one thing and another. So while I'm up here praying last Tuesday, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, you know, if you'll continue to treat your roping like recreation, it will continue to be a hole in your purse. And until this season in my life, my roping has always been financially successful. Always. No matter what level you're at, you can succeed. I just had the mentality that I wasn't capable and I didn't have to. It's just recreation. Not anymore. There's a guy that can really do it, wants to be my partner. God blessed me with that guy. And God blessed him with me. His walk in the kingdom has just really opened up in the last few months. So it's a really good relationship. And he watched me rope a little bit the other day, and he told me a couple little items, and the next thing that happens, I buy the horse of my dreams, and the next thing you know, I catch them all. I mean, catch them all. I catch one every now and then. I catch them all. And I told my wife last night, we came in from roping with the kids. And I don't want to bore anybody with this story, but this point right here is the part you need to hear. I walked in there and I said, honey, I want you to know something. I'm a healer. So now I can work on being a better healer. But I am a healer. You know how many people come to a gathering because of it's their recreation, so to speak. It's Christian entertainment. How many people are still trying to be a Christian, but they never seem to elevate because they've settled for the lowest level of their walk? And then one day you wake up and you go, I am a child of God. And I do walk in the Holy Spirit. This is my life. This is not what I do. This is who I am. You see, up till this point, I've just been healing. Now I'm a healer. When I get done at Leveland this weekend, everybody there is going to know I'm a healer. You know, say, where is that? Where'd that ding dong come from? Became a student. The word disciple means to become a student of. Became a student. I studied what I was told, and I've been putting it into practice. I'm not being cocky. I'm not being arrogant. I am confident. We have preached false humility till we've kept everybody a bunch of milk-sucking infantiles. I mean, really. We should be walking around spewing the kingdom of God and revealing God's glory. You are the living stones. You're the one that reveals God's glory. We keep waiting on God's glory to fall, and he's waiting on God's glory to rise up in us. Rise up. I walked in tonight, and Gary, he said, "You've been riding a horse today, hadn't you?" And I said, "No, I've been auctioneering a cow sale all day." "Why?" He said, "You're in a really good mood." I said, "Yeah. Well, you'll find out tonight. I've been invited to the battle." Well, I don't know how many of you Christians want to go to a good fight, but I'm ready. I enjoy it. It's called man stuff. We call it cowboy stuff at our house. I want a task. I want to be stretched. I want to be tried on for size because I'm a child of God. You want some of that action? You know what the title of the message is tonight? Are you a tool? Leonard tried to talk me out of it, and I just wouldn't let him. Yeah. What are you? Are you just here to be entertained? Are you just here to serve your time? You still just bumping around because you've disqualified yourself, or you're just trying to be a Christian? It's like trying to be a pastor. I tried that for 10 years. The only example I had was every brick building on Main Street, most of which is not represented in here. So every time I'd try to be a pastor. Hey! Till you finally just throw the keys up in there 14 times, hoping somebody will run under them. And then one day you wake up and you know who I am? I'm just Steve. I'm just the same Steve that one day God spoke and asked a question, and I said yes. I didn't go do what he wanted me to do. I've been working on becoming what he wants me to become. Big difference. Once I'm okay being me, I can just work on being the best me. If I'm being me trying to be something else, then it's heck of a lot of work. Heck of a lot of work. Does that make sense to anybody? So, be sure you're a Christian. Once you know you are, shoot, just be the best one you can be. Let God do everything. Be a tool. Be ready to go to work. Be ready to do what you've been called to do. Hopefully, you'll have somebody in your life that's at a higher level or more mature or more knowledgeable, been walking in anointing, doing things. They'll call you to come along beside of him someday. First thought in your head is, people like me don't hang out with people like you. Then I hope you get that little thing in your belly that says, we ought to try this. This will be fun. You know what? When I realized who I was going to do this with, I got to step my game up. I've been called to a higher spot. Have you heard Jesus call you to a higher spot yet? You better get ready, because there's some people going to want you to come alongside here. And it's not going to look easy, and it's not going to look fun, and you're not going to look capable. You just got to be willing. Willing to do the work. Coffee with the Colonel today. Participate. Are you ready to participate? Great question. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for your time today, Lord. It's just been really, really good. Tonight, Lord, use my lips of clay to speak your words of truth. Tonight, Lord, let us just get real. Let us get real with the circumstances of the day. Let's get real with life. Let's get real with our responsibilities. Let us get real with ourselves. So, Lord, tonight we bless you and we thank you for your holy presence. And God, that your glory be revealed in us, Jesus. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. Thank you for this wonderful group of people that's here. those who are listening in other places. Give you praise, give you glory. And Lord, I want to pray, just speak a blessing over every kitchen table represented here tonight. Every kitchen table, as we just talk and visit as your children, your family tonight, about your stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, if you listen to my little deal today, and I apologize a little bit, I can't apologize much because my daily coffee with the Colonel's been really slow getting up on there. Sometimes not. I don't think it has to do with content. I think it has something to do with 5G and iPhone 13s. I don't know what, but anyhow, it's kind of slow. But like today, didn't get up till a few hours ago. I did it at 5:30 this morning. It's still dark outside. Took all day. So anyhow, it's still getting on there and the messages are still relevant, all that stuff. But if you listen to that today, if you had the chance, I've tried to avoid the subject a little bit, but it's unavoidable. Tonight may be a little bit straight up, and I may say some things that you question. That's perfect. I've said for 20 years around here, if I can tick you off enough to go and read your Bible, I've had a good night. We did good. But our nation is in a jam. And it became very evident this week. Some things going on, and there's some things that we've got to recognize, but there's also some more responsibilities in the earth and some things that we need to talk about. So this morning, when I was talking about that, I went to Isaiah 9. That's what got me started. The Lord took me right straight to Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9 is a really good Christmas scripture. The reason I say that is because, Paul, if you've been hanging around here very long, you know where everything's kind of got its roots. If we've got some things going on in our religious life that have Constantinian roots, then you got to know this, that you've also got roots in the Babylonian institution. You've heard me talk about the seven institutions, the Babylonian institution, of which one is the institution of religion. These things are all enemies of God because they put a veil between man and God. The one that Jesus rent in two at his crucifixion. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born." I remember one time early in my walk, I sent that to Matthew Hagee one Christmas morning. I just put on a text, said, "Unto us a child is born." And he sent back and said, "Congratulations." "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David, over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Out of God's zeal is intentionality. This will happen. It happened. God sent his son, for unto us a child was born. That son came through a woman the same way that God planned on creation. By impregnation of the Holy Spirit, the Son of God and the Son of Man was born. That same baby grew to be a man, walked for 30 years. At his baptism, the Spirit of God came upon him, led him into the desert for a time of testing for 40 days and 40 nights, tempted by Lucifer himself. The Luciferian theology came up against the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God prevailed. Then for the next 3.5 years, he preached the kingdom of God. He explained the kingdom of God, a kingdom that's here, a kingdom now, a kingdom upon us, a kingdom at hand, and a kingdom within us. The Bible said at his resurrection that he ascended to fill the universe. There was a throne established by a king. His name was David. The throne was actually established by God. David occupied the throne. It was a predecessor to Jesus himself, who would be ascended to the highest place. We'll read that here in a minute in the book of Ephesians. And a government was established. The rulership of God is the government that supersedes all governments. When he tells us that you are not a citizen here, you're a citizen of heaven, yet we live here, but we don't belong here. And they took that piece of scripture and they tied it with a beam me up Scotty theology to the place where you no longer thought that you dwelt here, were responsible here, took ownership here when you became a Christian. It was all about getting to be somewhere else. But if you'll read the Bible all through Psalms and everywhere else, he talks about the land. When he gives Joshua the fulfillment of the promise by chapter 5, he tells him when he meets the soldier of God's army, take your shoes off, you now stand on holy ground. In chapter 1, he told Joshua, when you cross over, I give you the land. Take care of the land because now it'll take care of you. No longer will the manna come from heaven. No longer will the water come out of the rock, but you got to tend to it. This is your sustenance. This is where you live. This is where you dwell. This is where you own. Ownership is key. And so when we live under the government of God, then Luciferianism does not affect our attitudes. It might affect your billfold. It might affect your job. It might affect a lot of things. How do we know it's Luciferianism? Because The Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, framed through the lens of this Bible, our Declaration of Independence says that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and have been endowed by their Creator with these certain inalienable rights, of which are life, liberty, eventually changed to the pursuit of happiness. But the original text handed down from John Locke to Thomas Jefferson said the ownership of a state. You want to know about the kingdom of God, you ought to own something. Then you'll know what authority means. Then you'll know what responsibility means. We've preached a squatter's gospel for the last 150 years. You don't belong here. You're getting out of here. Where were you today? Was anybody here today? How many of y'all think you'll wake up in the morning and be here? Where do you think Jesus is going to return to? Here. The audacity of that guy. Everything's here. Come on, man. You got to have the same IQ as a skateboard to think you're somewhere else. You're here. Jesus is coming here. Why? He owns it. Psalms 24:1. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. Colossians says that all things created by Jesus, for Jesus, through Jesus. It's all his. Psalms 110 says the earth is his footstool. Heaven is his throne. Here, now, upon you, within you, at hand. I harp on this all the time. You know why I harp on this all the time? Because one of the saving graces of being in my position the last 20 years, about 10% of you remember about 10% of what I said. So up until about the last 10 years, I'm glad you can't remember what I said when I cleaned off all them CDs and throwed them in the dumpster one day, because I just following along and learning, and now just regurgitating this stuff all over the top of you. And praise God, I hope not much of it stuck. But the last decade, I've been floating this boat wide open, out in public, checking for holes. Believe me, there's plenty of fact checkers out there looking for holes. Boat's been floating just fine. So every week I get a little bolder. Every week. So now we need for 90% of you to remember about 90% of what I said. Go home and figure this stuff out. The government of God and the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. What is the government of God? It's the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It's the kingdom of love, joy, and peace. How do we know we dwell in the kingdom of God? Because Jesus is our king. How do we know he's our king? Because we seek righteousness. If we seek righteousness and the kingdom of God, then what happens? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What have we learned from the Babylonians? Seek the things. If any two of you will agree on it, you can name it, claim it, grab it, blab it.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.